Hi, and welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buholtz. You may know me as Gigi Matt B. And today we've got with us an amazing artist. We first started working with this artist about a year ago for the Start With Love campaign and absolutely fell in love with not only their art, but also their positivity and impact on the art community. So without further ado, let's welcome Ella Dory.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the time. I know that we're in different time zones and it's just a busy time of year being at the top of the year. So thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
So for those who may not know you, which I don't know who that may be in the world, but please introduce yourself and kind of what sort of art you do.
Okay. Well, obviously my name's Ellen Tory online, Katie in real life. I do a lot of fan art online. That's probably what I'm most known for online, is just flying around between different fandoms. Full time, I work as an indie game dev and do children's book illustrations and kind of everything, really.
Jack of all trades. So today, we're going to be going through a lot of different interview stuff with you, but I see people already in the chat asking if they can ask questions. Totally. Put your questions in the chat. We're going to do a Q&A at the end. Also, make sure to click the link in the bio because Ellen Tory drew an amazing piece of Genshin Impact fan art, and you can caption it for your chance to win a Wacom One tablet. So all right, make sure that that happens because, I mean, that's pretty easy to do. Caption, get a tablet. Make it happen. Level up that art.
Go at it, you Paimon stans.
Is Paimon your favorite?
She grew on me. She was irritated. Yeah. She's precious. So,
let's talk about the one thing that everyone always asks. How did you get started with art? Where did your art journey begin?
Cool. So obviously, like most artists are going to say, I've been drawing pretty much as long as I can remember. I guess the journey was just people telling me, hey, you're good at art. And I'm like, am I? Cool. And I never really stopped drawing. I didn't start seriously considering art as a career, though, until more college age, when I decided it was actually time to get serious and not just doodle in margins and stuff. So
people always told me that I was tall, so I should try basketball, and that did not work. So I'm glad people telling you that you were good at art worked so well for you, because obviously that put you on the right path as you got into college. No, go ahead. Take us through what happened once you hit university.
I actually wasn't originally going to university for art because, you know, it is, especially, you know, 10 years ago, it was such a risky field. It was like, what's going to do art? So I had initially gone for computer science and I was like, well, I can, you know, make websites and try to make a video game or something. And then a year into that, and I was just like, I'd really rather be drawing. And then ended up joining Worthless Degrees. Anyway, so I kind of taught myself illustration, ironically through DeviantArt. Almost all of my early learning was through a lot of tutorials on DeviantArt, and that was really cool. And got an entrepreneurship minor. I could recommend that.
Yeah, there's a lot of business that goes into art that a lot of people don't think of. So many people think of just what's on the paper and not everything that goes behind it to make it something that you can live on.
Yeah, for sure. I think business is probably one of the most overlooked aspects of being a freelance artist in particular. Like, you're so much more than just an artist. You also have to balance like your taxes, and marketing and advertising is pretty big as an artist too, especially if you run like merch stores. Just the knowledge of, you know, business cards and networking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ants in the back. Wake up.
Yeah. What up, Wacom? This is our living moss wall. I believe the only two people allowed at our office anymore are me and the guy who waters this. So it's very quiet and solitary here. But I think that entrepreneurship background is something really helpful. And just knowing that business sense is something that can really impact like a freelance artist, a professional artist, whatever level of art you want to get into, if you're looking to make it into a profession, yeah, knowing all of those things really helps out.
For sure.
So one of the things that we talked about earlier this week when we chatted was kind of how you initially found DeviantArt was through fandoms, which your fan art continues to today. And we were talking about like the OG thing that brought you in was
Naruto. My first fan, that was my first fan art on the internet anywhere. I was back on, let's see if anybody here actually knows this website. Any of y'all remember like the Otaku, like way back in the day? I was like, Otaku. And then people were like, hey, this new site, DeviantArt. And I'm like, oh. And that's where we are. Actually, DeviantArt's the reason I am Ellen Tori and not something else, because on the Otaku, I was Katami, but that was taken on DeviantArt, so I had to use my Warcraft name, Ellen Tori, to sign up for DeviantArt.
Oh. There's the origin of the username. Like, that's something that we should do more often, is find out how everyone got their name.
Kind of cool. A lot of people have different ways. Mine's just Warcraft. Ellen Tari is Tolkien, Elvish, but anyway.
Yeah. That's super cool. So from that, like the joy of like wanting to kind of make a game and going to school and not really finding that, like I totally get that. Being my age, I think it was even more limited. There was like DigiPen and I believe RISD had a program at the time, but this landscape for finding that sort of creative field didn't really exist. Yeah. So for you, how did you continue to pursue kind of this like dream of wanting to create and build art around something where there wasn't really a path set before you?
Honestly, a lot of my personal path has been accidental, so it's really hard to explain to someone how to follow. Like, for myself, I just draw, like I said, fandoms and stuff. So I wasn't really following a path. I was more just trying to learn to get better so I could make better fan art for Naruto.
We've got to do the Hokage proud, right?
But I had my email and like personal information and stuff, like how to contact me, just out on DeviantArt, even when I was like in college. And people actually started reaching out to me. Like, some of my first gigs I got were commissions for like people wanted their fiancés drawn for weddings, or I briefly did like t-shirts for Disney because a company wanted me to draw princesses, and they all found me through DeviantArt. And then as I branched out to like other websites like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, I kept my email on all of them, and it just kind of snowballs into, I think that's kind of where the business side comes in, is I wasn't really following like a set path. I just knew I wanted to draw and I wanted to draw well. It's more about I wanted to be the best artist I could be. And like, I'm still on that journey. Like, that's, I feel like, a journey most artists are on for their entire life. And it's just, while you're on that journey, it's making sure that you're available and marketable at the same time. And then people just kind of find you, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's such a real thing. And it's something that we hear time and time again. There's that authenticity, right? Like, if you're drawing something that you love and you believe in what you draw, like, you're going to continue to grow at it. And especially if you set those goals to like be better and to find those like steps, you're going to keep improving, and people will find that and latch onto that, whether it's growing a social following or finding a job, like, it's all there.
Yeah.
So from there, let's talk about your work right after college then.
So immediately after college, when I was graduating, I was looking for something full-time as like a job. I was actually working as a waitress at Applebee's, which was cool. I still like Applebee's, but there was a local indie game convention, and I actually printed off my resume and passed it out to all the stands at the convention, being like, do you need an artist? I'm a local artist and I'm graduating. Like, and it worked surprisingly well. The gaming company hosting the convention actually was looking for an artist, and I had an email or a website link to my DeviantArt portfolio, actually. And they were able to like look me up at the convention and then be like, hey, we want to meet up with you this weekend. Like, we're interested in hiring you. And I still work with them. Like, that we're three people, but it's fun. It's something though, and it was really cool. And if there's any artist out there looking for work, I can't stress how important convention networking is. Like, even if you're just going around indie, I mean, I guess that's really more if you're into like interested in gaming and stuff, but apparently there's children's book conventions too, where children's book illustrators with authors. I've never been to one, but the author I write for said that they go to that, and it's kind of a cool way for artists and authors to network. So whatever you're interested in.
So what's one way that you would recommend for people who are looking to put their stuff out there, whether at a convention of any sort? What's something important to have? Is it like a really great business card? Is it a really great portfolio?
Is first and foremost, you need a good business card. I mean, even if I'm at Artist Alley's picking up business cards, you can tell who's like put an effort into their business card, but Artist Alley's usually you're there. Moo, if I can like brand shout out other companies. Moo,
sure.
Who I use for business cards, and they've got really nice stock. Like, I will pass out my business cards, and really often have people be like, whoa, these are nice. Like, they're cool. I don't actually know if I have a business card within reach right now, but mine just have like art across the front. Especially with artists making business cards, like you can do a lot with like your art and like signatures and stuff, and that will be the first step. If people like that, they'll hold on to it. And just making sure your information is easy to find on the back of that. Usually it's socials and an email with your name. The fewer steps people have to take to find you, the better. But if your card can advertise your work, then you don't need to rely on someone going to your site.
So. Yeah. And I can't stress enough, like what you just said, having a username that's easy to find is super helpful too. Like,
yeah.
I know when I'm like tagging artists to give them credit on social posts, it's like sometimes I'm finding them under 20 different names everywhere. I'm like, yeah. I just want to do this right.
That's kind of where like business and branding comes into it too. Not going to illustrate under your actual name and you're going to web handle. It's really important to try to find something that you can get across all platforms, and it needs to be easy to remember. Like, if you say it to someone, they should be able to remember it to spell it later. Or I don't know, some are really wild and it's just like, I have no idea how to say that.
Yeah. as much as I love leet speak or any clever phrasing, it can be really hard to be like, oh yeah, it's GG Matt B, but the second G is a 6 and the A is a 4 and there are 5 yeah. T's in Matt. Like, no. Find something easier.
So, yeah.
So working at the gaming company, what sort of environment is that like working with such a small team? Because everyone's got to be really passionate doing that, right?
Yeah, so our current team is obviously me doing all the 2D art, UI design, everything like that. We have a programmer, and then our founder, he does more of the marketing, business networking side of things and project managing. And everybody wears many hats, but it works out really well. Like I said, I initially was pretty much all just illustration, and now I've had to pick up website building and UI building and story writing and mapping and just everything. But it's kind of cool because you get to grow. And like I said, we all do run that convention I went to, GDEX. And so when GDEX comes around, you're also organizing volunteers and doing panels, and it's a lot. But it works.
Do you find that wearing that many hats is something that you really thrive in that sort of environment?
Here's a cat.
Oh. Did the dog turn into a cat? Like, I swear there was a dog there 1 second ago.
We got three cats and a dog around here, and they're all over. Yeah, I think it definitely helps you grow. As like I said, I do more things now. Unity actually is probably the biggest thing I've picked up from it. Is I never thought I'd be learning Unity as an illustrator, but getting into a game company, I now can't program in Unity, but like I can use Unity. So that's definitely been something really cool to pick up. It can be stressful at times, but it's good.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I think that for me, like being able be in a job where I get to wear a lot of hats and work in social media allows that. It really keeps everything fresh. Like it helps me avoid burnout as much because as soon as I start getting like really stressed on one thing, I can pivot to another. And yeah. It just keeps activating different sides of the brain. You know, it's like, here's these numbers of engagements, but like, here's how the creative side works. And it's kind of fun to keep everything firing in that sort of way.
Yeah, for sure.
So one thing that I want to touch on is the game you guys are working on, No Mercy, is amazing for many, many reasons. The art is beautiful. I love Brawlers, but just to get everyone out there a little bit of knowledge of the tone of the game, can you tell us some of the character names?
Oh, well, every character's got two names. They've got their pun names and then their actual names, which, so we've got like Party Foul, and his name's Kevin. We got War and Pieces, got Bare Hands, who just kills stuff with their bare hands. I like puns. I think puns are the highest form of humor. I know many people who disagree with that, though.
But I'm right there with you.
They're fun. All of the character designs were actually based around. That's how the game started, was me just making up characters to go with these different puns that I was writing down. And then we threw them in a brawler and then realized we have a very, very small team making an entire game, but we're still trucking. We'll get done and it's going to be cool.
So when I was doing comedy and entertainment, I used to go to artist alleys and we had a booth next to the D-Pad Studios, which was a team of four guys that made Owlboy. And that was like a decade for them. Like it was crazy, but like such great content comes out of a team that's like that passionate and that driven towards a single goal. So I'm excited to see what you guys continue to do with No Mercy.
Me too.
if you guys haven't seen it, search it. The videos are great. Like everything that you guys have done on it looks amazing. So
thank you.
So I do want to get into a little bit of connecting and community. You mentioned GDEX earlier, which is the convention that you guys run. So how has it been being an artist and now working to build a convention that also features like an artist alley among other things?
So much work goes into conventions. It's a lot. It's amazing. Conventions happen ever. It's like the same thing at games. You don't realize how amazing it is that games ever get released until you try to make one. Same thing with conventions. But it is kind of cool to see like the behind the scenes, to know like as an artist, it's like, okay, well, what do I want from, I've never actually done an artist alley though. So like I only buy OhioCon and they don't have fan art. Because Disney got mad and I don't know what went on. So I'm like, if they don't allow fan art, then what am I going to sell? Like, anyway, it's a long, long, horrible story. Ohio is weird. No, I lost my train of thought. It's been kind of cool though, networking with like a lot of artists to be like, you know, setting up an artist alley, seeing what people want, making sure everybody's cool. The coolest thing about GDEX is it's a lot of indie developers too. Most of the floor is also teams of like two people making games. So it's a really close community and it's really fun just to see. And yeah, a lot of work.
And so you also teach now, yeah?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that, because that seems like this crazy journey from someone who was told they were good at art, who loved art, who went to college, who self-taught, and now you're like kind of bringing all this knowledge to new people.
Yeah, that was actually through a connection at work. I mean, it's amazing how many jobs and opportunities are just networking connections over time, but the local college near me, Columbus State, if anybody's in Ohio looking for stuff to do, I teach figure drawing for animation and stuff in their gaming program. So that's also been going on for a couple of years, but it's something different. It's something fun. It's only one class, but technically some people call me like Professor Hamill now, and that's like really,
ooh,
it's weird. It's weird.
And what's interesting now too is we were talking about this earlier this week. There's so many places to learn now. Like, yeah, it's not just traditional classrooms, but also like kind of what you were saying earlier, there was tutorials on DeviantArt back in the day, and now people find tutorials everywhere, from TikTok to YouTube to still on DeviantArt. Please check those ones out. But, you know, there are plenty of ways to learn.
YouTube's great, honestly, though. Like, now you can learn anything on YouTube. I ripped a hole in my ceiling and fixed a shower drain just by YouTubing. It was wild. And there's still a hole in my ceiling, but that drain is fixed. But, like, there's so many resources available now. Like, if I had the resources back when I was in high school, that would have been so cool. But I just played Warcraft and Halo, so.
Time well spent.
I don't regret it.
I think that we can probably figure out if we would be like best friends or not by knowing if you're a Horde or Alliance, because there's obviously a right answer.
Ooh. See, I actually have characters on both sides.
Okay.
Depending on who I know is playing. If I had to pick a side to ride or die, it would probably be the Horde.
That's the right choice, yeah.
But I mean, I've got a Horde sweater and everything, and I'm not going to say I was the Horde camping the, like, Alliance starter zones for hours and hours, but I was. It was fun.
Yeah. not so much hours and hours as days and days, but...
But complete without massacring at least 50 noobs, but...
Well, you just had to bring the good word of Sylvanas to everyone. But continuing on, and a little bit gaming related, you stream your art now on Twitch.
Yeah.
What has it been like building kind of a community around you creating live?
So originally I started streaming just because I wanted company while I was drawing. I mean, I was still in college. I was just kind of lonely. I was like, saw some other artists streaming. It was wild though. Like, it forced you to learn quick, because I was like, oh my gosh, now people are watching me draw, and like, I have to be good, because that's really stressful. But I was also insanely, insanely introverted. Like, it's amazing I was able to stream at all, but that also helped me, like, be able to talk to people. Like, the only reason I'm able to do this, and I'm not just like hiding somewhere, is because I was able to stream and make those connections and kind of get comfortable with that. But it's also just, it's really cool, because I don't think there's really any other way to get to know the community that you're connecting with better than streaming or making a Discord, because it's so much more than, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody who's like online, like liking your post and like commenting and stuff is awesome and it's really cool, but it's like completely other to have people there like with you who like you can talk and chill with. And as far as art creation goes, it kind of slows that process down because you're also juggling like a chat, but as far as like community goes, it's insanely satisfying in that aspect. So I think it's worth doing if artists are curious.
Yeah. Real quick. Bye, Wacom. Thank you for dropping in the chat. It was nice seeing you in there. Thanks for answering all those questions about ice cream.
Thank you. Me tablets I use.
But yeah, I agree. I think that there's such an amazing thing and a real sense of like unity that comes from streaming while creating art. Like, it used to be this very kind of solitary, I don't want to say reclusive, but like people were so protective of their art, right? Like, no, you can't see my sketchbook. Like, nope.
Oh yeah. And people are like, I don't want you to see my brush settings. I don't want to share brushes. I don't want you to see my process. Like, when I was trying to learn how to draw, it was like that. And I found it really frustrating. So when I was first starting out, like I said, it was a lot of like the just hand drawn tutorials out, but like it wasn't anything beyond that. And I think people streaming and really opening up, like, exactly with things like these layer settings, like this, with these brushes, do this. It's kind of taken a lot of the complexity and hardness out of a lot of illustrations, but like, you can do this. This is exactly how you do it. You know, it's become less like dragons hoarding their secrets. And
yeah, I think one of the cool things that's really happened, and I give a lot of credit of this to streaming, is there's been kind of a demystifying or a bit of magic that's been taken away from like a finished product, right? That made it like way too high to ever obtain. And it's so cool because it used to be like, wow, here's this finished piece. I have no idea how it got there, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I can't ever show my work because it's not that. And no one saw those steps in the middle. And so now with streaming or tutorials or video content, I guess in general, you get to see all the challenges that go into it. And it's a little bit more accessible and a little less restrictive, I feel, to be like, oh, this is where I'm at now. Like, it takes away some of that stigma of the work in progress.
It's also helpful because, like, you can compare, like, oh, you know, at this point, I would have considered my piece done. What else are they going to do to it? And then you can see how exactly they keep going. And or even just if you already have a style in a way to draw, like, you can see every single artist will approach even the same things radically differently. And that's kind of cool.
What's one of the biggest things that you've learned from watching, like, video or streaming? That you're kind of like, wait, what?
Oh, wow. I feel like there's just different stuff all the time. Oh, God. No, I'm not going
to. I put you on the spot.
The most recent thing was pin light is a really fun layer if you're trying to soften, like, really dark lines in a piece. Because pin light will target really, really dark areas, but not really adjust much else. So that's kind of cool. Just seeing how, I was thinking about yesterday, the single most important tip, God, I'm getting all scatterbrained again. Way, way back in the day, there was a DeviantArt tutorial where this guy was like drawing a dragon and he put down an orange like color dodge layer or whatever. And he was like, I'll just throw down a color and cycle through different layer settings because you never know what colors you're gonna find. And that like blew my mind because I was always like, how do people get so many wild colors in their pieces? And I realized like you can just throw color layers on things and cycle through stuff just to find colors that fit with the piece. And that stuck with me, I guess. That's kind of cool.
That is cool. So we are getting closer to the Q&A section. I've seen a lot of great questions in the chat. Make sure to put them in there. We do have a producer going through, pulling questions, putting them into the chat document for me so that I can ask them at the end of this. So make sure to do that. Again, quick reminder that in our bio, there's a link so that you can enter to win a Wacom One tablet. Thank you again, Wacom. So let's start getting into this Q&A because we actually got a ton of questions, like a lot, and from a lot of names I don't know, which is awesome. So your community really showed up. Thank you, everyone who follows Ellen Torrey for sending in these questions, because there's some really good ones in here.
They're awesome people. So.
And again, it's not too late. You can keep asking questions. Our producer's putting them in this doc for me, so we're good to go. All cool. Right.
Yeah, for,
there we go. Crag all these. Oh, all right. So this one's kind of a fun one. What's your favorite thing that you've drawn?
Ooh. So I have a default answer to this. I don't know if it would still be true, but the Draco picture where he's like curled up in the chair reading and there's like rain in the window. I really liked working on that piece and really liked how it turned out. Like the rain animation and like the warm glow.
Nice. And that comes from Unknowingly. Sorry, I forgot to say your username at the top, but we got it in there. So did you study and practice realism before developing your art style? From Alandi S.
Honestly, no. I kind of tackled both at the same time. Like way back in like high school, it was a lot more like still life. It was a wild thing. It was like, I can meticulously copy a still life in front of me, but I'm also going to draw anime girls with huge heads. My art teacher's like, her heads are, those heads are too big. And I'm like, no, they're not. It's anime. And looking back now, their heads are way too big. It was horrible. I find, oh God, I don't know. Realism's such a weird thing because technically, yes, you should have a foundation in like realistic stuff and proportions, but I find telling people to only learn that before they're allowed to draw what they want is actually kind of more inhibiting in the long run. It's like, I'd rather people just have fun drawing what they want and learn proportions and stuff along with it.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta have like a little bit of sugar to go with the learning.
It's okay if anime is where you want to start. Like, it's good.
Yeah, no complaints. So, No says, where is your favorite place to create? So this probably is a little bit more restrictive during our current times, but maybe before that as well.
For me, it's really more of less of a place and more of like anywhere. I like being alone, honestly, like unless I am streaming, but like physically, I like being alone and I like loud music. Like I like full headset music. Sometimes I'll go out to parks and bring my iPad and just draw somewhere, but anywhere I'm alone and there's music.
So. What music do you put on?
Oh, wow. It depends. Usually music that goes with whatever piece I'm drawing. So anywhere from like more somber classical to a lot of EDM. I usually like more upbeat, like EDM dancey music. But
yeah, having a good beat can help really just get your brain going.
Yeah.
It moves everything along.
Oh, yeah. May knows what's up. Taiko's a great way to just vibe out and draw.
So, what fandoms do you like creating art for the most from Canwarist?
Fandoms are interesting because they kind of change. Like, I find fandoms, whatever fandom I'm like actively involved with is usually what I'll enjoy creating for. Clants was obviously a huge, huge part, but that was like years. Right now, I would actually say I'm kind of in like a weird fandom lull. Genshin Impact has actually been the first thing in a while that's really caught my interest with like the character backstories and designs and like lore and stuff. So I've enjoyed doing that. I feel like classic fandoms like Percy Jackson, I'll always enjoy drawing like Nico D'Angelo and stuff like that. So Harry Potter's fun. Avatar, fun. Like there's some classic iconic fandoms that are just kind of always fun to draw for, but currently more Genshin Impact is coming.
Genshin Impact has been so funny because I think it's hit bigger than anyone really anticipated, right? Like you have all these characters and they're each so detailed. Like every little aspect of them has so much attention to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Their Discord actually is now the single biggest Discord server in existence. They beat out the Minecraft Discord server.
I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah. This is actually Genshin Impact shout out stream because
yeah.
They got more money, right? No, they don't.
Well, I know that the team that just won League of Legends Worlds, one of the star players of that with his prize money bought $10,000 worth of Genshin Impact boxes to try and get the squad that he wanted. So,
anyway,
it's got to be big, right? He's single-handedly carrying that.
That's
great. So this is a little bit more on the marketing side, how can artists gain more audience from Inklight Creations?
I mean, the brutally honest line is fan art. People like fan art, like reblogging fan art. Whatever you create that people will like reblogging and sharing will probably perform the best. This is usually fan art, but it could also just be like relatable content, like comics about life or maybe situations you're in, which is why a lot of my pieces, I like, if they're not fandom, a lot of my personal pieces are just more emotions or themes, like trying to tell a story. If you're actively like, I want to grow an audience and not just, you know, make pretty stuff, you are going to have to find a fandom to sell your soul to. Preferably one that's popular. That's that. Like, Avatar. Always. Like, Avatar and Ghibli, good content.
Yeah, and to extrapolate, finding a niche can help as well, just like to make it a little bit broader. Like,
yeah, me personally, because like I have a friend who was really into like DC comics, and that's all she draws, and has been able to find a niche too. It's just find something you like drawing, but realize that what you are making should be people like funny content. Like if you can draw comics or something and it's like funny, people like that. Yeah, that's why a lot of like fan art comics do really well. Yeah.
Yeah, find ways to celebrate something you love.
Yeah, then you get to slide in your personal art too. Be like, here's a nice fandom picture, and here's my original art. And people are just like, hey.
So let's see. Eli Squared wants to know, have you accomplished some or all of your artistic goals? And what have some of those goals been?
Oh, wow. Like actual drawing artistic goals, I will assume is what they mean. Have I accomplished all of them? No. I feel like the instant you stop trying to learn new things is when you kind of become stale, or I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds so brutal. No. personal goals. Oh God. Getting better like painterly type art, I guess, was a goal that I don't know if I feel like I've accomplished, but have been very satisfied with my progress in. I want to get better at using softer colors and not always rely on so much dark and neon lights and stuff, as fun as color dodge is to use. I enjoy drawing more simply, like cartoony. Like, it's just how I like drawing, but I think it would be cool to try to figure out merging a little bit more realism into my work, but in a way I enjoy. So that's probably my next step. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always fun when you reach that point where you can really start playing with different aspects of style, right? Like, you've kind of got down a comfort level for yourself, but then you're like, how can I push this one way or the other? And making it more simple doesn't mean making it easier, for sure. And making it more realistic doesn't always mean making it harder. Like, there's so many different ways to like take those and find that perfect level of what makes it yours.
Yeah. Like I said, ultimately at this point, I'm just trying to figure out making art so that I enjoy it the best. Like, what am I most happy with? And yeah.
That's got to be the real goal. I mean, if you're not making art to be happy, like, why art? It's so, like, it's such a hard field. Like, you have to love it to do it, for sure.
You do it a lot.
Yeah. So a couple of different people, Elmi Art, Jendi, VO Art, and a few others have all asked, how do you manage time and life work balance with, like, art?
I've got a bottle of caffeine pills behind me.
Don't say that.
Oh, don't say that. I washed down my caffeine pills, Moscow mules. No. Honestly, that's difficult for me, especially. I don't know if I'm qualified to give advice on this, because the bottom line for me is I don't know if I have. To-do list work. I have planners. Like, for me, what has helped me try to balance out not feeling like I have to do everything in one day is to like get a planner and write out when things are due, everything. I mean, like projects, school, teaching stuff, work stuff. And then also in another color, write out when I want to work on these things. So rather than being like, I've got 8 things due coming up, which one do I work on now? If mentally I can be like, don't even think about these till later, think about this now. That can kind of help me. Also just figuring out what workload you can take on. Like, it's okay to say no to projects, or be honest with people, honestly. Like, if you want to say yes to a project, but you're currently overwhelmed, don't keep promising people yeses and getting buried deeper and deeper. Just be real with people. Be like, you know, yes, but I'm not going to be free for maybe even till next month. I've like flat out told people, like, you know.
I think that's a really big one that a lot of people don't focus on, but is so essential, as something that I learned very late in life, is just those realistic expectations and setting those for people.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to come from the, oh yeah, I can totally do that for you sort of mindset, because we all want to celebrate our art and be happy with our art, and whatever job we're doing.
You can be like, oh, well, that'll only take me a couple hours to do. Yeah, I can do that. But then you've said that to like 8 people, and suddenly you've got, you know, several weeks worth of work that you've said yes to getting done in a week. And you're just like, okay, that's not going to work.
Or the problem that I always find is like, oh yeah, I can do that in half an hour. And then like cut to 8 hours of me doing this project and just not setting the realistic expectation for myself.
Or 7.5 hours of just putting off the project because eternally you don't really want to work on it yet, but like you can't work on anything else.
I feel very attacked.
That's what I do. I'm like, I've got all these things to do and I just push them off because I don't want to do them, but can't work on anything else because I know I have to do them. And the next thing I know, I'm like level 50 in Genshin Impact with no work done. It's a problem.
So long story short, everyone that has that question, it's something that you constantly work on, and finding little things to help tick away at it is going to help you eventually.
Yeah.
In the meantime, caffeine pills.
Caffeine is great. I'm just saying, caffeine pills, you don't have time to drink, like pop caffeine, like
responsibly.
More than one, you will get heart palpitation.
That's the thing. Yeah, got to be careful. Read all the labels. Check with your doctor. Don't do anything that's not right for you.
That's true.
So something that I just saw in the chat from Vanilla Buns, they said, what artists currently inspire you or have in the past? And I think that's such a cool thing because, like, let's spread some positivity to some other amazing artists.
Yeah, well, I guess anybody I follow on Instagram, I mean, or DeviantArt too, honestly, for that matter, anywhere, is probably someone I want to look up to and get input in from an artist. Obviously, Loesch was a big one. It's been around for a long time. Genzo Man was an artist from a long time ago who
did
splashes, and what little Katie wanted to draw Warcraft loading screen art like Genzo Man did. And Starbite is another really cool artist, really positive in his community. I like the way he uses like dark and light in his colors. There's so many. Honestly, yeah. Those are the three, I guess, that pop out of to my mind now. But there's a lot of good artists around. That's one of the reasons why I like Instagram. It's because I'm bad with names. I don't remember names really well, but I recognize art, and it's nice to be able just to collect artists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to gather and just peruse, and no matter where that is, like, it's so good just to like get that in your mind and see the way that people are trying new things and doing new things.
Ironically, I don't remember their name, and I'm really sad about this. I'll have to go find them and share them to my Instagram story after this. But they do like this really soft, almost charcoaly like children's book style, and it's so different from how I draw, but like I love it. Like, it is one of my favorite things to look like, man, I wish I did this, but I'm just gonna look at it and appreciate it for now. But
I love the podcast because we have all these people in the chat who are saying, you know, Katie, I love your art, I wish I could do what you do. And then you get to say, I love this artist, I wish I could do what they do. It's just this like great thing of like, everyone has people that they look up to and are inspired by, and art is just constantly growing. Like, that community is getting stronger and stronger, and like so much more positivity is coming into it in recent years. Like, it used to be very competitive, and it still is in a way, but
yeah.
I feel that more people are just really embracing this, like, we're all in it together mindset.
Yeah. You know? Like, it is competitive, obviously, with jobs and stuff, but the reality is I feel like there's also more people looking for artists now. Like, art has kind of blown up now, at least from my perspective, more so than before. So no matter where your niche ends up, there's probably a market for it. It's also cool, some of you have probably seen the comic where, like, the little artist is looking up to the bigger artists, and they're constantly, like, I'm not going to be that good, but they're drawing, and then it pans over and you see their art's also leaving a trail, and there's a little artist looking up to them. And that was like really inspirational for younger me to see, because it's like, no matter how far ahead you're looking up, you are still growing, and there's people looking up to you too. Like, it's this whole world. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I agree. Like, I think it's amazing. I know when I was starting, I was definitely looking, like you, I was looking up to Lois and Art Germ and a lot of the Udon crew. Like, I love the Capcom and SNK style art. Like,
yeah.
And so now getting to like meet with artists of all different types and styles and levels, it's been so surreal to kind of get to see all of that.
Yeah.
So I do see a lot of your followers in chat, the Margarita Gang. And I have to ask, what is your preferred margarita recipe?
Oh, wow. Well, usually I'm just lazy and I go and get the pre-mixed stuff.
Okay.
Cuervo. You
go with like a Blanco, a Silver, or you put in a Reposado? Do you get real fancy?
Oh, it's usually all pre-mixed. I mean, like, I'm seriously.
Even
like,
the tequila?
Yeah. Like Jose Cuervo margarita, you can get them like this big and they're like all pre-mixed. You can get like lime and stuff. But my favorite though is to like go to a Mexican restaurant and be like, you know, I want like chips and queso and that really big one for four people. Because I'm there with other people with masks, you know. See, that's when the quarantine took away from me. So I can't go to Mexican restaurants anymore. Have margaritas, but
yeah, I miss restaurants. LA, like, number one perk is all the food here, and to not be able to go share that with friends. Oof. But gotta be safe. Everyone, be safe out there.
You see, we have the margarita cult, but we also have the juice box cult for people who can't drink yet. So we're a responsible phantom.
You gotta be responsible, always. So that's about it for our time. So really quick, let's wrap it up. Don't forget that you can enter to win the Walk in One tablet by clicking the link in bio. Caption that piece of Genshin Impact art.
There's a link in my bio too.
Yeah. But no matter who you follow. Also, please follow DeviantArt. We do these every other week and we get to bring you some awesome artists, and you guys following, commenting, all of that helps us get to keep doing this. So that's always awesome. Where can people follow you and find all of your art across the entire web?
Well, they can find me on DeviantArt. obviously, Instagram too. I'm on Instagram. Twitter and Twitch are probably the other big ones I use. I mean, like, I have a Facebook, and I think I even have an ArtStation, but like, I don't know. I have a Tumblr. I don't really use it anymore either. I'm Ellen Tori everywhere, but yeah. YouTube. There's videos on YouTube.
There you go.
Twitter, yeah, wherever. I hide. I don't know, man.
Well, we'll be keeping our eyes open for your art book this year. Obviously on its way. You've heard it here, and it's now locked in. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a great day as these sirens come in and find me at the office. All right. Goodbye. That was fun, right?
I went pretty well.
Thank you so much for propping up on a pillow. I'm sorry.
I wasn't really sure what else to do. There's not really a shelf or anything here, so
We've had cameras fall on so many streams. Like, people who use like the headsets and, you know, they plug into the bottom of like an iPhone. They're like setting the iPhone on top of a jar so the headphone cord can go through and taping it on there.
I've been there.